UPS is currently hiring package handlers for its preload operation. Earn $13 an hour and receive up to $250 in weekly attendance bonuses while working up to a career as a package car driver. In as little as 6 months, you could have an opportunity to connect with customers and build lasting relationships in the community. Future you looks good in brown. Apply now at upsjobs.com or text brown to 33588. That's brown to 33588.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
Good afternoon. I'm Nick Valvano. This Sports Center update brought to you by the University of Louisville Online Learning. Get the ball rolling on your career in sport management at louisville.edu/online. Yesterday, standout offensive tackle Mekhi Becton announcing that he will declare for the NFL draft and sit out the Cars Music City Bowl. A decision Wave 3's Kent Taylor is okay with. He was on the Diener Show this morning.
All you have to do is look at the Miami game and watch when he got hurt. That was such a freak play. And that happens, seems like, every game where an offensive lineman gets rolled up on. And, you know, so hey, good for him. He gave them, 34 games.
Your home for all your Music City Bowl coverage, your Belk Bowl coverage, the college football playoff, and all the bowls is right here at ESPN Louisville. Hoops U of L, they're in action tomorrow with Miami of Ohio. We'll take Chris Mack's press conference live during the V show. You just heard from Coach Cal. We'll have some of that presser later on in the show. The Cats, they're in action on the road with Utah tomorrow. The Cats, they might have had some hiccups, but ESPN's John Gasway saying the top of the SEC this year will not have any new faces.
I think that this is a good defense that is already making its shots inside the arc. Even when I was picking them to win at all, I fretted in the preseason about their three-point shooting. That has turned out to be correct, so maybe I shouldn't have picked them after all. But I do like the prognosis for the long term for the Wildcats, and I think they'll be there with Auburn at the top of the SEC this season.
Gasway on the B-Show yesterday. You can check that interview along with all interviews and podcasts on the Podcast Center at ESPNLouisville.com and on SoundCloud. One other nugget on the diamond, the Reds, they signed pitcher Wade Mally, the lefty, will get $50 million over 2 years, according to Ken Rosenthal. Be show next. This is SportsCenter.
The only station in town talking Cards, Cats, and Hoosiers. We're ESPN 680 and 105.7.
Time now for the V Show with Bob Valvano on your sports station, ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
And welcome to a Tuesday edition of the V Show on ESPN 680 and 105.7. It's Met Christmas Day.
Met Christmas.
See what I did there?
Oh, it's a Yankee
Christmas. Yeah. And that's weird because I am a Yankee fan too, but I just thought.
I was going to say, you're picking a side.
Troll Sweeney a little bit.
There you go.
You know what I'm saying? You know what I'm saying about that?
Even though they just signed Garrett Cole.
Yes, that's a great signing. I mean, it seems...
It's a lot of money.
It's not my money. Not your money. And again, I'll say this just to start the show on a controversial note so people can yell at me. Four different studies have been done that I'm aware of, probably more than that. Ticket prices not related to player salaries. Sorry. Just the reality of the deal. Ticket prices, like everything else in the world, have to do with supply and demand. You're willing to pay it, they'll charge it. Just means they'll make more money. Good Lord, was that... Is that Porzingis? Only the Knicks would get rid of a guy like that. They're showing the highlights of the game. They beat the Bucks in Milwaukee last night, which cost me a 14 parlay.
Ended their 18-game winning streak.
Yeah, I know. 14 parlay. Had all the other three and had the Bucks straight up, and they lose. And Porzingis just made two shots that were at least 30 feet away, both of them. But the Knicks, they won. Knicks couldn't take care of them. Anyway. I digress. What the hell are you doing in there?
I'm afraid I smell like Ace.
Ace of base?
Yeah. I didn't shower last night. And these are my work clothes.
What? That's terrible. Why are you acting like a pig?
I thought I had a change of clothes in my car. It was really cold this morning. I didn't change. Went over to the GF's house. It was her last night in the really cold apartment.
Oh, when is she getting out of there?
She's moving, like, today. Like, the majority of her stuff is going over today. So she had to spend one more night over there. So
I'm going
to
try this one last time because I'm annoyed from yesterday, so I'll just get this off my chest.
It's the holidays, man.
I start the show at 12:06, dude. Deal with it. This guy, it drives him bat spit crazy. I don't know why, but it does. First text of the day. Bobby V was in the studio at 12. Oh, he sends negative stuff to everybody. Okay, well, I realize this is how he's wired. All right, now I don't feel so bad. Was in the studio at 10:45, but now the show still starts at 12:06. Classic. Yes, because that's when it starts. See, that's what our start time is. Like, if you go to a baseball game, are you at a baseball game that has 1:05 and the game starts and you're screaming at 1 o'clock, see, they're late, all these guys make money. And they say, it starts at 1:05, sir. No, you're an idiot.
We took a healthy break there to catch up on some spots, and I needed to do a sports center. But we should try to start closer. But
there's a lot of Johnny, pieces. As always.
A lot of pieces.
Let's see. There's two sides to take here.
Oh, my God. Here we go.
Can I take anybody's but Ted's? Yep, sure can.
I'm just saying.
Absolutely. That guy just called in and said there's no gravity. Well, sometimes there's not. Maybe he's calling from space. Nick, I'm fairly certain we don't have any listeners in space. You don't know. There's no addresses on these. He could be an astronaut right now. I don't think they're listening in space. I'm fairly certain. But, you know, he may be speaking.
That would be so cool.
I love when people tell me you don't know their search situation, their circumstance. That makes me laugh. Like the people that leave the games early. Man, that's America. Man, do what you want. Leave at halftime. I really don't care. I'm just telling you from the press table, it looks awful. I feel bad for the players. The most important part of the game, they look up, and it looks like somebody just cut a big one, that main court. Everyone's like, oh, my God, I got to stay for this. So I'm done with that. I'm not bringing that up anymore either because, I mean, it's amazing how upset people got. You don't know. It's a tradition. Like I said earlier, it's a tradition. Yeah, every year at this day, every year at this time, somebody walks in and hits me in the face with a shovel. It might be a tradition, but it might be, hey, would it be worth saying maybe we don't have to continue to do that? I don't know.
I'm just happy we converted Birdhead Ryan. That meant a lot.
Yes. How about that? Was that great? It's like Johnny Appleseed. We got one converter there.
Also, so. Caller wanted to ask. Wanted to ask two things, and I appreciated the call. He wanted to know what ass hat meant. Was it like a certain, like in context? I just said we can't say.
We can't say the whole orifice. Term. We can't say the entire term. So we can't say the whole term.
Ah.
That would be the whole story that we can't tell there.
Right.
So you clean it up a bit. We're good at that. We've got a whole jargon, a whole vocabulary.
Spithead.
Don't give a truck.
We also do swear occasionally, too.
Yeah, but that's only,
are we on the naughty
it's only
list?
For the benefit of the people down. Are you kidding me? Santa loves the show.
Does Santa listen? Wow, we got astronauts? We got Santa?
Sure. Guy said he was just kidding. It's a joke. I like it. Well, then thank you, sir. 12:06, baby. That's when you need to be here. Ain't nothing happening except if Nick does a sports center. That's worth listening to.
Because it's a crapshoot. It could be really good. It could be mediocre. It could be god-awful. Gotta love it.
I'm so glad you have Coach McDonald on. I'm so excited for the season. Can you ask him how we can see the 2020 roster? When I look at it, all I see is the 2019 team. I want to see what the roster looks like without the guys that all left last year. Seems to be a legitimate bone of contention, such as it were.
That's fair.
Why are they bones of contention? Let's look that up.
It's not we want to know Wednesday.
But I want to know.
I need your help. I need mom's help. I need to wrap one more present back here. And all I have is a stapler, some tape, and tissue paper.
I need to visit with you because we talked about this yesterday. You wind up bringing more than one Yankee present again?
We don't have to use them. I'll use them.
Yes, we do.
I got them for extras.
This is like the conversation I had with Norm about the bocce tournament.
Why is it a big deal?
Because I'm running the thing, and I have to make sure that everybody leaves with a present.
Okay, so they're just extras in case somebody forgot to bring one.
But I want... No one forgot to bring one. B... Okay. I'm using all the presents. So if you don't want them given away, don't put them in the pile because, A, you're not going to get them back.
Well,
because we're doing a bonus hour.
That's why they were called extras. So they're backups. If we need them, we'll play them.
Wow. You know what? If there could be a guy who just got off the boat here from Mandarin China, doesn't speak a word of English, we could put him in to produce the show, and our communication could be about the same as his and mine.
Oh, yeah. You would ignore him, too.
No, he doesn't listen to anything I'm saying. All the presents that you put on the table,
There will be no extra. Holy they will all be used.
I get that.
Okay, so you just said earlier when I asked you why you're wrapping them, you said, well, I might use them for... You're not... If you put them in the pile, they ain't coming back.
I might take them myself is what I'm saying.
You can't.
Merry Christmas to me.
They're going into the game. They're all going to be given away in the game.
If we need them.
No, even if we don't, that's what I'm trying to tell you. I'm running the game, and all the extras are part of the bonus round that I made up for this year's game. I've been trying to, without spilling the damn game, because I had a nice surprise in place, but you beat it out of me as if I were a foreign spy, so there can be no pleasant surprise in there. Okay?
What?
That was the idea.
All I'm saying. Okay.
All of the gifts that you put on that table are going, and you ain't getting them back.
I get that. I'm saying
by definition, that's no extra then.
Okay. By your logic, any team that has a backup quarterback must play him. We're running the Wildcat the whole damn game,
yes.
Boys. Why? Well, we have three quarterbacks on
and
the
roster.
And
they're all playing.
And I'll be damned if they can just sit over there until we need them. Or even if we need them. They might not play. No.
They are playing. That's what I'm trying to tell you. That was my surprise announcement at the end of the game. Hey, you see this pile of gifts here? They're not going back. You have a chance for an additional present, and I'm going to tell you how you can get them with our bonus round that you have now trod all over as if you took a Ford Explorer and just got a run. I was trying to get you away from that without spilling the proverbial beans.
All I'm saying, wow. I thought I was being overly generous. I brought extras in case we needed them. That's all. If you said we need them, they go in the pile. If we don't need them, they either go back to the store or I stock someone else's stuffing with them. Or stocking. Whatever. Mm-hmm. I'm all flustered.
Okay, but best of my knowledge, everybody who's coming to the party has brought a gift.
Okay, great.
So then you have to pick the one to put in there, or if you want to put additional gifts, let's not use the word extra. That's where the confusion is coming from. If you wanted to put additional gifts in, they will be incorporated into the game. That's your choice.
Okay, I get that. I don't... Really? Okay. Extra? Yeah. Extra is what spun you out? You are like an Indy car. You just go a million miles an hour, but holy spit.
It's you that seem to be flipped out by extra.
No! I just said I had backup presents if we needed them. That's all.
Backup. There's two terms today that have really pushed me over the edge. One was Locke's serious fantasy football. That is hilarious to me. Serious fantasy. Serious pretend football. Serious make-believe football. That was funny. And then this one with extra and backup presents. That's like if the one present says something inappropriate and is stripped of its title as present, like Miss America, this is like the first alternate present. This one will step in there. Did you see what that present said? He's a sexist. BS. Can you say that? I can't remember if
sexist?
You can say that word.
What?
No, the other word. A sexist bass.
A turd of bass?
Yes.
Turd de bass.
Yeah. There you go.
Can I say that? Turd de bass? Because you can't spell out swear words either.
No.
Because
people can spell. You can't spell them out, but we have a whole litany of... We try not to find the ones that rhyme with... fire truck too often, because even the pretend ones are too a little close to making people uncomfortable. But the other ones are damned entertaining. Can I come to Valvano Christmas? That would be a blast to see all day. Sadly, much of this show is, you don't have to come to Valvano Christmas. We had a performance of this the other night at Waffle House at about 12:30 after midnight, I believe.
I'm really scared. Eventually, the girlfriend, I feel, is going to grow tired of it.
She might. Although, she's in there punching herself. She's hilarious.
Yeah.
She's very funny.
Yeah, big
fan.
She
gives as good as she gets. And we haven't chased Shelby away, so hell. You know.
It's because Shelby's busy doing 12-hour shifts at the hospital.
For the first 3 years she was in the family, I didn't know she could speak. I thought Jamie was dating a mime. So, if she was able to stick it out, I'm fairly certain your girl will hang in there.
Here's hoping.
All right.
I got some fun sound, since we're in kind of a fun mood.
Oh, my Lord. Was that guy just whacked in the face there? How about the Rockets comeback? Did you see that?
Wow.
Rockets were down 21 at the half, came back in 109-107. I had them in my parlay, so when they came back, I said, I'm good. And then the Bucks said, hold my beer.
Oh, they're in Milwaukee. Hold my Miller Lite.
Oh, man. Anyway.
Wait, are they a sponsor? Yeah, they are.
Okay, so this was kind of fun. We were going to play it on the V Show.
Well, this is the V Show.
I mean, on the Midday
Rush.
This is
the V Show.
Yes, thank you.
The other show is the Midday Rush.
Wow.
Maybe you weren't certain. Let's see who this is.
You're answering the phone on the air.
Hello.
You have to tell them they're on the air. Remember, we get fined for that.
Yes.
It's a fine.
What can I do for you?
Okay.
Oh, there we go. Thank you. See, the guy must have known I lost the parlay last night. It's a guy from another casino. They get on these lists. Hey, why don't you join us for... Ever seen, by the way, that is the worst deal in America.
What?
I'm giving you a little tip here. The bonuses in the online casinos. Holy Toledo. No, not the one. Seriously, not the one. Like, that's why... Where's the DraftKings one? Because that's actually a good point. Because if you read the copy, you may not realize the significance of that copy. I don't know what the copy is. But it's a non-restricted bonus. Okay, that's why that's so good. It's a flat out... If you read the copy, they are quick to point out that what type of bonus it is. We have no earthly idea where it is either, do we? There it is. That's it. Okay? See the line about the bonus? I'll read it. You're going to break the window one day doing that.
It's not soundproof.
It's
anyway.
A risk-free bet up to $500. That's different. That is what the title implies. It says no risk. You either win or you get your money back. The other places will do this. Hey, put $200 in and get a $200 bonus. Then it's small print. It's like you must roll over that $200 like, you know, 7,000 times. So you have to bet that $200 like the equivalent of $14,000 in bets. And here's the kicker. The beauty is... For each dollar that you lose, it comes out of your deposit. It doesn't come out of the bonus money. It's like, you know, once you take the bonus, you'll never see your money again in most places. But not DraftKings, because DraftKings has a great deal. If you're a football fan this holiday season, then you would like to know that we have a great day to make it more entertaining for you. There are over 30 bowl games, and well before the championship game on January 6th. And if that's not enough to get you excited, the playoff push is underway in the pros. You need even more? DraftKings Sportsbook app can get you in on all that action. And more 24/7, 365 days of the year. With so much going on this week, they have great promotions running every day, especially this week. DraftKings, not only the bonus, which I'll get to in a minute, but they're giving away 8 days of sportsbook gifts this holiday season. Be sure to check out the promos tab in the DraftKings Sportsbook app each of the 8 days leading up to Christmas to open your daily gift. You definitely don't want to miss what should be a fabulous series of Christmas gifts from DraftKings, and especially what's in store on Christmas Day. With promos like these, it's no wonder DraftKings Sportsbook is America's top-rated sportsbook app. Now, here's the deal, what I was just talking about. Download the top-rated DraftKings Sportsbook app right now and use the code WHBE. Those are our call letters. For a limited time, all new users get a free bet. See, that's different. That's very different than the other thing I'm talking about. All new users get a free bet when you sign up. Plus, when you make your first bet, you can get a risk-free bet of up to $500. Slide the copy up. Don't forget, sign up with code WHBE to place your first bet, and you can get a risk-free bet of up to $500. That is really... That's the kind of bonus you're looking for, not the other ones I was talking about. Only at DraftKings Sportsbook. Must be 21 or older. Indiana only. Restrictions apply. See site for details. If you have a gambling problem, call 1-800-9-WITH-IT. Thank you for that. So there you go. So check out those bonuses. That's a good one. A risk-free bet is different than the playthrough bonus where you play through for the rest of your life.
Are we going to be able to get all this in 30 minutes?
Get what, Owen?
Yankee Christmas.
Yeah, oh yeah. No, that's why I'm telling you, I got it down, man. Bip, 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 bip. But then you came in and threw the monkey wrench in.
By bringing extra presents. For people, if they needed them. Just trying to
do this one more time.
No. We don't.
No, one more time.
We don't have time.
All I was trying to find out, are you going to put them into the game
if we
knowing that we don't need them? I've already checked. Everybody who's coming brought a gift.
Oh, okay.
Okay, so that's the point. I brought some extras for my bonus hour. If you wanted to put some additional ones in, they would be part of the bonus hour. That was my surprise, which now the whole world knows about.
So they're all in a meeting. They're not listening. So.
Oh, no, they're listening. Only if I kid you.
I've been in those meetings. They're not listening. They're talking about stuff.
All right.
Sorry. It's nothing personal. It's just they're talking about stuff. It's hard to talk about stuff while listening to the chaos that is the V-Show.
Yes. It's a great point.
Hey, I'm looking in the reflection. Did my hat stop twinkling?
No, it's twinkling.
It's still twinkling?
Sure.
Okay, good.
Yep. I should have worn my Twinkly Rangers sweater.
Oh, man, I thought you were.
No,
oh, yeah, that's a good point.
It was.
Damn it.
Maybe I'll wear it to the official. In true ESPN Louisville fashion, our Christmas party is, what, in January, right?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I mean, it's still during the season, is it not? I mean, the Christmas season goes till January
7th. 12 days of Christmas.
Yeah.
It's after that.
It is?
Yeah.
Oh, well.
I think it's like January 12th or something.
Then it's a winter.
It's a winter celebration, such as it were.
Right.
So, all right, anyway, what funny sound?
Oh, yeah, okay. So this was from the Louisville Athletics Twitter. They did a sort of like This Is Sports Center-esque commercial with Vince Tyrae, Coach Satterfield, and Coach Mack. It's very funny. It helps. It's still funny audio-wise, but go watch it because the expressions are.
They have nerve having fun.
Yeah. So, I really like this. I've wanted to do This Is Sports Center-esque like commercials for the ESPN Louisville studios forever. I just don't have the time or equipment to do it, but I might have to get with my boy Ty, because between the two of us we have about 12 jobs, so it's kind of difficult, but I'm still wearing my work outfit from yesterday. But maybe we can bust out a couple of these. Well, my boy Ty Matthew, the Honey Badger. This was a funny little This Is Sports Center esque commercial from Louisville Athletics. Take a listen.
Around here we're always looking for ways to help each other out.
Good play right here, right up the middle, should be good.
Go for the bomb. Let's throw it deep.
Nope, here's again another play right here. We're probably going to just take it off the right side right here, right off the right tight end.
Let's go deep. Throw the bomb.
This next play, we're going to go on the left side right here.
Deep, coach. Go deep. Bomb.
Hey, listen, we're not going deep. Why don't you just stick to basketball?
Coach of the year.
And some of us are still working on our boundaries.
That's pretty good. Texter says, I'm a UK fan, but that U of L video is really funny. Nice that you can appreciate it that way. Very good. Very tasty. Oh, state your business. What's he doing? He's going to the presser. Is that what he's telling you? Is he going to the presser? Holy crap, are there people coming in? Everybody's coming in. Why are we stating business?
Don't
anymore?
Look at that. It's not wrapped all the way. Actually, wait. Don, can you wrap that for me?
Yes.
And just pretend you don't know what it is.
Wow.
Stop looking at it.
Wow.
Oh, that's definitely going to the mixtape. Wow, is that going to the mixtape? Holy Toledo.
It's very well-meaning.
Why are all these people coming in?
Patty is going to be able to play with us for Yankee Christmas because Tom Farmer, our boy, flatmate Thomas,
is
going to be at the presser and connect via the Lucy app.
And he already,
so Patty gets to play.
Okay.
That's good. I don't know what Don's in
what
here.
Did the
Don, what's good?
Talented Don,
I was going to ask if you need numbers.
Numbers? Do we need numbers?
No, I've got two decks of cards. I'm telling you, I got this thing. Right. I stressed out on this to the point where last night I couldn't fall asleep. And is
we've
got numbers. Everyone's checking. Thank you.
Don't look at it.
There it is again, right in the mixtape. Whoa, look at this. Nick's showing it to everybody. Hey, how you doing? I heard there was a montage of the big stick discussion. Is that true?
Maybe. I'm not sure. I've heard it, and I'm not sure we can play it. But
it was just done for internal entertainment?
Because there was one somebody made about you because you said.
Oh, you should like this because they made me look like an ass, right? You
no,
love that.
You listened to it. And you even chuckled.
I did, huh?
You did.
Yeah.
You said, I don't know if I could say it on the air because it wouldn't be taken as, you said, come as you are a lot.
Okay.
And there was one word in there that you said a lot and they mixed it around to make
it
sound like.
Yeah. Okay.
It was funny.
Who did it? Was it Beavis or Butthead?
I don't know. It might have been our boy, Nick. I'm not sure. But
Nick
Curran? No, not me. Not a Nick, I think
not
you know.
You're not Nick Curran. You're
no,
Nick Valentino.
No, not me. Right. Not Nick Curran. Okay. Not Nick Evans.
Okay.
It was, I think, I'm not sure you met him.
It wasn't St. Nick, because Santa would be on the naughty list and not get any presents himself.
Can he do that?
Santa,
can he self-impose?
Who brings Santa presents?
Mrs. Claus, how you doing?
I mean, seriously, the guy gets, like, first of all, he gets nothing but carbs for two whole days. Nobody gives him any protein. They just give him cookies and candy and sweets. No wonder he's got a serious weight problem. State your business. What does he want?
PJ's just dropping off some Christmas cheer.
Oh. What, like booze?
I don't know. I haven't taken a sip out of the cup.
He brought you, while you're on the air with me, some booze.
Might be a little vino. It's just a little vino. It's a little vino. How you doing? You can drink on the air. You just can't be intoxicated. And this is not going to make me intoxicated.
Oh, look at this. Let's give me that whole bottle. I'll show you. You can't get me intoxicated on the air. You're not going to get me. Let me just state a couple of things.
You might have been the Bestie Award winner, but that's only because there's not a Worstie Award to give someone.
Wow.
You big-headed son of a biscuit.
Oh, my God. Goodness, look at even Don is chagrined at that. See how he treats me? There go your tires for Christmas.
I was just kidding. I'm not really, sure, I'm not intoxicated. Quickly, I'm perfectly fine. That's good wine. It's very smooth.
Very tasty. Very nice.
Did you want to try some?
No, because I don't drink while I'm on the air, unlike some others.
It's just, I'm taking a sip.
Santa L's probably make him taste. Some presents with the leftover parts.
Oh, great. Thanks, guys. A PlayStation Box 4. This doesn't play any games.
Sorry, Santa. It's all we had.
All right. Well, anyway, what are we doing here? I have no idea. Did you have other sound? Was it just that one thing? That was it? That was the whole thing? That was all of it?
See, there we go. Now you know why I drink.
Well, because you said sound.
It's never good enough. Never good enough.
Don't
ever
say that. I'm not that father, and you know I'm not. So don't give people wrong impressions.
No, but Mom was that mother. Hey, I don't. No, I'm just kidding. I'm kidding. I am kidding. I'm 1,000% kidding. You and Mom had your flaws. Lots of them. Considerable amount of them. But you were also very, 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 very good parents.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Thank you. Now I'm just going to take off that scratch out of the gift, erase that. That goes back on the list.
Yeah, there we go. There we go.
So what? So we do have other sound or we don't have other sound?
Well, there's one thing I guess you could get your thoughts on here. I haven't started cutting Cal yet, but the SportsCenter clip I trimmed up a little bit about UK. They got a test tomorrow. I mean, it's a road game. They are a Power Six.
It's not a road game. It's a neutral site game.
Yeah. But okay. Well, they're in a different time zone. And that's the same time zone for them. So you're right. It is neutral floor, but I still kind of think like it's more Utah zone.
Cal is so grateful to hear you say that because he'd love to have this interpreted as a road game.
Yeah. Oh, my God.
That's all he plays.
Oh, my God. I'm falling into the Cal.
You did. You just you drank the Kool-Aid there. This
oh,
is,
the blue
this
curl
is me returning the game. Are you playing UNLV? Well, no, but.
BBN Nick. Oh, geez.
It's in the same time zone.
But, I mean, I know it's early. And I know you've called one UK game, right? BBN Bob, you did the...
I did the Champions Classic.
Right. Okay, so John Gasway, I played this soundbite in my SportsCenter.
Yes.
I think it was a decent one.
I do actually want to address this.
Yeah. Just talking about how there were some hiccups. He picked them to win the national championship. It certainly doesn't seem like such a safe bet now, but he does still think that they'll get it together, they'll do the tweak, and it's going to be UK and maybe a few other familiar faces atop the SEC.
I think that this is a good defense that is already making its shots inside the arc. Even when I was picking them to win at all, I fretted in the preseason about their three-point shooting. That has turned out to be correct, so maybe I shouldn't have picked them after all. But I do like the prognosis for the long term for the Wildcats, and I think they'll be there with Auburn at the top of the SEC this season.
I did want to address that. I heard that during SportsCenter because when we were talking about, and I'm really buying into this, we'll see, maybe wrong, but I don't think it's a matter of being right or wrong. It's a matter of you have an opinion on it. And in my opinion, that is that it, in variation, Fred Carter played in the NBA, coached in the NBA, and then was a broadcaster for ESPN and then the NBA Network for a number of years. And I've said this every day, like for last week, so many of you have heard it before, but he said that. And how he came up with this number, I have no idea. Never asked him. But he said there's an 82-game schedule in the NBA. After 22 games, you know who your team is. And that's roughly a quarter of the season, a little less than a quarter of the season. And I thought, I think there's something to that. So I did it with college, but I thought that really NBA, you're playing all of your games against NBA-caliber teams with the exception of the Knicks. So you've got a better idea of who you really are. In college, no disrespect to FDU or USC Upstate or whoever, you can't really get as accurate a gauge. So 8 games for me, really almost everybody in basketball, in college basketball, plays that 8th game against a Power 5 or comparable team. I include like the Big East in that, on January 11th, that week. Okay, and What I meant by that, I think some people interpreted that as, and I think what some people interpreted what Fred was talking about, and he wasn't, the more I talked to him about it, was, oh, we'll find out if we're good or not by then. That's not what he meant. What he meant was, you know at that point how you really have to play. You may have had aspirations or big visions of playing differently, but at that point, you are who you are, for lack of a better way to put it. So if you wanted to press and you've tried to press and eight games, people have just gone through it like paper. It's time to come to terms with the fact, well, we ain't going to win that way. We got to go another way. We'd still be good, but we have to play a different way. That's what I meant. And I think some people are like, oh, yeah, we'll find out who's good by then. No, you may not, actually. You may have a team struggling then, but they then come to terms with, hey, we're not going to be able to do this that well, so we're going to do these other things, which I think we do well. And I think Cal is already in the master. He's so good at this, at positioning himself that they're not going to be a good three-point shooting team. And he tried to almost sell that as a positive at the presser the other day. Well, other teams are kind of a variation, because he's smart enough to know many fans will basically embrace a variation on the live by the three, die by the three thing, even though data analytics, and he loves analytics, don't back that up. But the fact of the matter is, that is how he's trying to sell it. Well, other teams will be restricted to doing that. We are going to be, you know, getting better. We're getting to the rim and getting free throws and blah, blah, blah. And he's coming to terms with the fact that they're not, as everybody said in the preseason, well, they were hoping that, well, you know, they'll be fine shooting the ball. Maybe they still will be better, but that's not going to be a strength of this team. He's making peace with it, and he's making plans to go forward to play around that. That's what everybody is going to have to do. It doesn't mean that's like an exam. Okay, you know you're good or you're not good, but you know the style that you're going to have to play by that game, and I think that's true for everybody. We come back. Here's some numbers I think you will find interesting and surprising in basketball. We'll do that next here on the V-Show on ESPN 680-1057.
On the V Show with Bob Valvano on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Now here's Bobby V.
Welcome back to the V Show on ESPN 680 and 105.7. Bob Valvano with you here on this Tuesday. This is an interesting piece written on ESPN.com by Kirk Goldsberry, which I'm going to guess one of those things when people are confronted with statistics and data they don't like. They either dismiss it, ignore it, or they try to punch holes in it. But I am not saying this with any kind of agenda. I just found the article very, very interesting. Although if there's a tiny bit of an agenda, it's amusing to me that I am one who has said repeatedly about the value of the three-point shot and that the metrics people talk about how if anything, they should be shooting more threes, and how ridiculous the saying live by the three, die by the three is. And, you know, that's kind of a progressive way to see things. But whenever I say something that people don't agree with, it's, oh, you old man, get off my lawn. So, you just got to stop, I guess, worrying about comments like that and just say what you perceive to be interesting and or the truth. And in this case, this article is both. I think it's the truth, and I think it's very interesting. Kirk Goldsberry is the guy's name. It's at ESPN.com, and it's headlined, "Nope. Damian Lillard's series winner wasn't a bad shot." And the shot he's alluding to, most of you know, was last year against the Portland Trail Blazers in the first round series. He took a 37-footer, and Paul George, who was guarding him at the time, said that was a bad, bad shot. I don't care what anybody says, that's a bad shot, but hey, he made it. And this article is fascinating in the numbers. It's just an amazing set of numbers, because the fact is, the players now are shooting at such a deep, deep range that it has completely changed what is the perception of a good shot. And you could say, well, I don't care. Just because people are saying it's a good shot doesn't mean it is. But when you hear these numbers, I think you'll be a little bit surprised. Damian Lillard said, talking about that shot, "That's not by accident. Guys are spending time doing it and getting comfortable and confident with that shot." And those of you probably remember, I mean, at least I do, what's being defined as in the article as the seminal moment in the deep three movement.
In February 2016, Steph Curry calmly pulled up from a seemingly unreasonable distance and drained one, which later measured out to be 37 feet, to win the game in overtime against Oklahoma City. I was on the road doing an ESPN game. We were watching it in a little lounge in the restaurant, and the whole restaurant gasped. I mean, he was so far away. But I don't think you can overstate it when you say that shot absolutely changed the perception around the league. And now here's the thing. If you're going to say, well, I don't like it, we're never going to have an argument about that, because like I've said before, you can like or dislike pistachio ice cream or vanilla ice cream or chocolate ice cream. That's a matter of taste. Nobody is going to try and persuade you to like it or try and convince you to dislike it. But what I'm telling you is you can't say, well, I don't like it because it's a bad shot, because the numbers are proving the exact opposite. Here's some numbers that I think you might find interesting. If you go to an NBA game right now, you're more than twice as likely to see a guy shoot a 27-foot jump shot than he is a 16-foot shot. Twice as likely. 2-to-1 ratio. As recently as 5 years ago, those numbers were completely opposite. Mid-range shots were more than twice as popular as deep balls. Deep balls are defined as a shot 3 or more feet behind the NBA three-point line. Okay? NBA shooters in 2016, when Curry hit that shot, now that's only 3 years ago, when he hit that shot, NBA shooters averaged 3.2 deep threes per game. 4 seasons later, the tactic has increased by 275%, all the way up to just under 9 shots per game league-wide. And here is how it's come about and why, respectfully, I submit to you, the numbers suggest it's not as foolhardy as you might think it is. Lily, like a lot of NBA makeovers, he writes here in the article, Damian Lillard's came about because he had a terrible playoff series against New Orleans in 2018. They got swept. The Pelicans were trapping him all over the floor, and he was trying to find new ways to get his own shot against aggressive teams trapping him and running at him. If he couldn't shoot from further out, he wouldn't always have to find ways to overcome the double teams and the traps and the blitzes. So he said, I'm just going to expand my range. So in 2018's offseason, he did a series of drills that are rather remarkable. Okay, he worked with a guy named Phil Beckner. Beckner taped down a four-point line. That's how they refer to it, just for reference, in a Vegas gym, which was about 4 feet behind the NBA's actual three-point stripe. And then he went through a series of drills, shooting them every way you can imagine. Shooting them without jumping, shooting them with momentum, shooting them going right, going left, from a deep squat, and then having to raise up and shoot it. You know, just uncomfortable positions, but still trying to shoot an accurate shot. And there's another article elsewhere at ESPN.com. Malika Andrews wrote that NBA teams are increasingly taping down alternative markings on their courts. Louisville does that, not necessarily for the three-point line, but for other parts, especially as it pertains to the way they play their pack line defense. In that article, it says none of the markings around the league are more popular than the four-point line, which multiple teams use to encourage spacing habits. All right, I still haven't given you any numbers that would persuade you. It's just, all right, interesting. That's what they're doing. But why should I think it's a good shot? Because this is amazing to me. If anybody who's gone into a gym when they played in just an empty gym and just shot the ball. By putting the line down, like Lillard, they have tried to make it so they can shoot and play with distance with confidence from distance, but they also don't want the range to get too wild. If they're left to their own devices, players sometimes will drift further and further back. With the new line taped on the floor, Beckner can calibrate the exact shot distance that Lillard was mastering. It was his way of showing, Lillard says, this is what a good deep three is for me. So to build consistency so far away from the basket, there's a drill, which I must admit I was not familiar with, called the Celtic 50. This is a drill that a whole series of teams do around the league, and it's been tried and true. Beckner learned it from Kevin Eastman, who's been an NBA assistant for a long time, working with Doc Rivers. Here's how it works. You have to make 10 shots from 5 different spots around the three-point arc, keeping track of how many attempts it takes you at each spot. That we used to play a game like this in school. It's called like basketball golf. The idea is to get through the course taking as few shots as you can. So a perfect score in this game would be a 50. That would be no misses at all. You'd have 10 shots from 5 different spots. Okay, so that would be 10 from 5 different spots. 50 shots. If you didn't miss one, you'd shoot a 50. If you shot at 50%, which I think most people would say you're shooting 50% from behind the three-point line. That's a pretty good clip. If you did that with 20 attempts from each spot, you'd score 100. Okay? So like in golf, lower scores better. All right, now this is rather remarkable. Where do you hear these numbers? Generally, the best shooters at any level can sometimes get a 60, which is amazing to me. That's some serious shooting. Beckner recalls first watching Lillard do the drill in college behind the college's shorter line. He was stunned as Lillard dropped a 51 twice. Just one single miss on his entire run. He made 50 of 51 shots. As he racked up consecutive makes, Beckner did his best to just act calm and avoid a jinx, so the two extended the challenge to the NBA line when Lillard joined the Blazers. Now think about this. The NBA line, where it is, Lillard still scores 60 or better 95% of the time. 95% of the time. He's making 50 of 60 shots from the NBA line. His record is 52, and Lillard is closing in on making that from the four-point line. Standing 28 feet from the basket, think about this. Lillard spent the summer of 2018 routinely missing fewer than 10 shots in the Celtic 50. His best score was 54. That's a 93% conversion rate. The guy's shooting 93% from deep three, from the quote-unquote four-point line. Right? Well, you could say, all right, well, that's a freak of nature. But the fact of the matter is, he's terrific, and it's not an easy trait, but there are other guys who can do it. And Beckner said, by the end of that offseason, he realized that the conventional wisdom about shot distances in the NBA certainly no longer applied to Lillard. The very notion of good shots and bad shots was different for him, and there are a number of other guys around the league that people are coming to terms with. It's not one size fits all. It's a good shot for them. Okay, so I'll give you some more numbers, which is amazing to me. And Lillard says, you got to understand, he understands why it's difficult from far away. You know, if it's like why the extra point, when they moved it back to 30-some-odd yards, it's a lot harder, obviously, because if you hook the ball a little bit from when you're kicking, you know, when they're spotting the ball at the whatever it was 10-yard line, it doesn't have time to go off course between where you are and the goalposts. You move it out to 30 yards. By the time it reaches the goalposts, it's 5 feet, 10 feet left of the goalposts. Same thing in shooting a basketball. The ball can go left or right. You can wind up with an air ball if your body is weak. He says he has a saying, tight body, tight shot. So that's what they work on, keeping a tight core and then routinely making a shot that looks strong and true out of his hand. He now routinely makes 80% or more of the deep threes, the four-point shots in practice. Think about that. 80%. So, I mean, and he's last month, you might have seen this. I don't know how much you watch regular season games, but he came down. Ben Simmons from the Sixers was waiting for him just about a foot outside the three-point line. Lillard just looked at him, never got close to him. He rose up for a 33-foot jump shot. It was still a close game. It was a meaningful possession. It was a game that, you know, still had was still in doubt. He pulled up with 20 seconds left on the 24-second clock. And absolutely drained it. And the picture of where he's shooting from, you'd think, oh, it must have been a last-second shot. But that's how the game works. Okay, now here's the deal, though. The league is suddenly full of players who can hit jump shots from that four-point line all over the place. Trae Young, Luka Doncic, they lead the league in deep three shooting this season, according to Second Spectrum data. And you know, of course, Doncic's 20 years old. Young is 21. Doncic shoots 6.2 deep threes a game. Young shoots 6.3. Okay, numbers. That's a run-up. What the hell does that mean? Well, let me put it in perspective for you. In 2013 and 2014, Damian Lillard led the league, taking 1.4 deep threes per game. 1.4. Next was Kendall Marshall at 1.24. Next was Steph Curry at 1.11. Nobody else was over more than one a game. This year, so far, in this season, Young shoots 6.3 a game. Doncic 6.2. James Harden 5.9. Eric Gordon just under 5. Damian Lillard just under 4. And it's not just the superstar shooters. There are now 44 players. Just 6 years ago, only three players, remember I gave you that number? Lillard, Marshall, and Curry were the only ones that averaged over more than one deep three per game. 6 years, just 6 years later, now there are 44 guys who do that. 44 guys. Now, and why do I bring it up here? We're not an NBA market. I just found it was an interesting number. But I also think it puts into perspective something that college coaches are going to have to come to terms with, which is, you know, the knock on basketball on a lot of different levels is, oh, guys are playing for TV. You know, it's why I don't think guys run fast breaks as well. I mean, I got to go find that fast break that Indiana ran against Nebraska. It was 4:59 left in the first half, and it's just unbelievable. It's four guys running within 4 feet of each other right down the middle of the court. It's just, I mean, it's just what you do now. You just sprint to the rim, and I don't think it's the most effective way to run a break. It's why I think you see a lot of not only bad shots, but no shots on odd man breaks, 3-on-2s and 2-on-1s, where you should at least get a shot, and more often, far more often than not, a good shot. But the spacing is just ridiculous. And the argument can be, well, guys, that's the way, you know, you want to be spectacular. I don't even know, to be honest with you, in fairness to players, I don't think they're consciously thinking, here's my chance to be on SportsCenter. They are influenced by what they see. And what they see is repeatedly guys flying down the lane, oh, and a follow, and the place going crazy. And so they run right behind the guy with the ball, assuming or even, maybe even hoping he misses, and they can get a 30, 40-foot head start, grab it, and make a follow slam, and the place goes nuts, and it gets on television. But it's really not the best percentage play. In fact, it's not even a good percentage play. Well, it's the same thing Seth Greenberg thinks, and I'm going to start watching it with a different eye. He thinks that the moving the three-point line back just a little, as they did this year to the international distance, is made. That's why you've seen some teams really labor offensively, because really it's kind of building on itself. In other words, you know, guys right now are seeing on TV all these guys shooting 2 and 3 feet behind the three-point line. It's a whole bunch of guys who think they can do that, and arguably they can't. But now, you were 2 and 3 feet behind a line, or 2 feet behind a line that was how many inches closer last year. Now that line's been moved back. Now you add another 2 or 3 feet to that, and that's a heck of a difference. And I don't know if guys really know they can make it from there. I'm not sure they're aware of the percentage that guys are making it in the NBA when they see these guys teeing it up like that. I mean, I don't know. I'm not saying they don't, but I also don't know that they do. And that's what I think is so interesting is, you know, these NBA guys, as I said, you may not like the game played like that, but the fact of the matter is if you got a guy who can get 3 points for his team at 93% of the time from that distance, if he was doing it by kneeing it to the basket, I'd say, go ahead, man, knee it up there. Well, it's the same thing. I don't know if analytics are big in college. I don't think they quite have the resources they have at the NBA. They might argue that with me. I'm sure Kentucky would say we got everything they got at the NBA, and Louisville would, and maybe they do. Maybe they do. But I think universally across the board, I'm not sure that as somebody who loves the three and thinks it's such an important part of the game, I'm not sure they've come to terms yet at the college game with who should be shooting the quote-unquote deep threes and how it should impact your spacing. One of the reasons I like it, by the way, so you know, is because I believe as players have gotten bigger and faster and stronger, the court is almost too small for them. If you put all of those people in that area, imagine you play without a three-point line, and all 10 of those guys are playing within the circle, the half circle that just extended to the top of the key, the old three-point line. That's a lot of big athletic bodies in a very short space. The game has almost no flow. And as a coach and who wants to control everything, if I don't get any more reward for shooting from out there, why am I going to do it? You know, you've got to give them some incentive to take that shot, or else everybody's going to want to play within 8-10 feet from the basket, and you're going to have a lot of awfully grindy, bumpy half court. Remember Al Skinner at UMass, maybe at Boston College, and maybe you remember, he used to run the tightest flex I've ever seen, literally. The flex is basically two cuts. A guy makes a flex cut along the baseline. He's in the corner, and there's a guy on the block on his side. He goes off that screen across the lane, looks for the ball, and then the guy at the elbow goes down and screens the guy who was on the block on that same side. He comes to the elbow. So if you can't hit the cutter and you throw it to the guy who just came off the down screen, he can't shoot an elbow jumper. The thing just repeats itself. You do it again. Now the guy who went through becomes the screener. The opposite corner man comes off. Then you down screen for him. But you can run it. Bruce Pearl runs a variation on it really wide, way, way wide off the lane. Al ran with, like, everybody, the two referees and assistant coach, all in that lane. Guys, there was no room to operate, but his theory was, well, you know, I'm going to score more points from 4 feet away than I am from 20 feet away. Well, now you're not. You may make a higher percentage as a general player, but with that three-point shot, 50% more value, it's not true. So open the game up. Well, if you can open the game up even more, then we get a chance to get the flow, which most of us love about the game, the pass, the cut, which, by the way, is another thing I'll get to in a minute. But, you know, it's got to be where guys feel like they have to guard you there in order for it to open up for the other players. If you're just coming down and teeing it up from 32 feet away and making 1 out of 20, nobody's guarding anyway, so you're accomplishing nothing. And I'm not saying it's that bad in college, but Seth contends there's a lot of guys taking shots that they don't need to be taking out there. And I think that that's an interesting stat. These numbers, as you see, have gone up, but I'm pretty sure it's weighed by the guys who have proven they can make it from out there, the Currys, the Lillards, the Doncics, the Trey Youngs. And I'm not sure quite in college, because college for years got to the point where, hey, everybody can be a three-point shooter. That, and it did, and that's good in a way. You don't just want a specialist, one guy. But the NBA, there's a lot of guys who can shoot it, but there really are guys that are specialists at that. And they carry the brunt of the load for their teams, as you see in this chart. I'm not sure. You can say, well, college does. Certainly Ryan McMahon's going to shoot more, and Jordan War is. But collectively across the country, I think Seth may be right. As much as I love it, and I don't believe live by the three, die by the three is a valuable is a credible criticism. If you don't define who should be taking that shot, it's like anything else. If I got a 5'8" point guard and he's trying to go down to the low block because he loved Kareem Jabbar and shoot sky hooks, that's a foolish way to play. And maybe that's part of the line being pushed back. Maybe it's a byproduct of games starting earlier. Guys start to get a sense of what is a good shot for them and what their coach thinks is a good shot with experience, game experience, and maybe they haven't got that enough yet. So I don't know. We'll see. But the offenses have not been all that great so far in the early season. They've got to catch up to the defenses. Sometimes it's the other way around. You see some great offenses, defenses make adjustments, and then you go forward. But this year, we've seen some struggling offenses nationally, and Seth thinks it's largely got to do with the three-point line. It's the V-Show on ESPN 680, 105.7. I was talking about the spacing of the floor. There's another great article, which I'm thrilled about. Again, it's just a matter of taste. Just a matter of taste. I love motion, open offensive sets. I love the passing and the cutting. I think it's a great way to play. It was more fun to play that way as a player. It's more difficult, in my mind, to defend. Maybe because I was not great at the pick and roll. I don't know. You know, we didn't run it that much. So maybe if I played pick and roll exclusively, I'd love that. But I don't. I understand it's a valuable part of it. If I coached again, even my last years of coaching, we did run some pick and roll. But I think teams got so reliant on it that I think the game kind of got a little plotty. I love the open court, the ball reversal, a skip, a backdoor cut. Miami is running that system this year, and they are one of the surprise teams in the NBA so far. They have been off to a great start with one quote-unquote superstar, Jimmy Butler, but the rest of them are kind of role players, and that's the beauty of the motion system. If you run it well, you can get good shots. You don't have to be a spectacular guy with the ball who can break it down. You just got to understand spacing, timing, how to set guys up for a cut, how to make a good, strong cut, when to cut. I went to Chris Mack's practice the other day. That was a big thing, is you may be making the cut, but if you're making it too soon, by the time the guys are ready to throw you the ball, the defenders had time to react. You've got to make that cut at the right time, and the guy with the ball's got to deliver it right on time, which is one of the reasons coaches got away from it. If I have a lot of pick and roll stuff, I basically have to coach maybe two or three guys for a lot of offense. Everybody else just gets spillover stuff. It's true. I got a guy setting a screen, a guy coming off the screen with the ball. They do their cat and mouse game. Maybe there's that third guy who you got to figure out where you're going to run him to get shots. But the other two guys basically don't have to handle the ball and stay out of the way. If you run motion, you need everybody to understand timing and cutting and angles and spacing. It's harder to teach, but that's why I think it's harder to defend. But there's a trend of that now in the NBA. It's a trend I like. The game always goes in cycles. Everybody played big, now everybody played small, then everybody played pick and roll. Now you're starting to see motion. But if you haven't seen Miami play, it's pretty entertaining, and they're off to a great surprise start. And again, you can say, when are you talking NBA? if you are not paying attention, and I know you know this, I don't even need to tell you this, this is what guys watch. This is what coaches are bought into. This kids, that's their be-all and end-all, is the thought to get to the next level. And it's not just the quote-unquote Kentuckys of the world with the one-and-dones. Everybody's influenced by what they're – not everybody. Many people are influenced. I don't think John Beilein was particularly influenced. And the irony is he's now in the NBA. He ran his own thing for years. But you see it at the NBA, it's going to make its way to college soon. So it's good to check in and see what they're doing on occasion. All right, we're going to take a break. We're going to come back. Got a lot of things coming up here. Dan McDonald's going to join us. His baseball team, number one in the country in the preseason. How about that? In Louisville, Kentucky. What a great story that is. And then Chris Mack's got his presser as well. So thanks for being with us as we roll on here on the V Show on ESPN 680 1057.
You've got ants inside the house, mosquitoes outside the house, moles burrowing in your lawn, and termites eating your house from inside out. You're completely surrounded! Luckily, OPC Pest Services has a Four Seasons program that can help. OPC has been providing quality pest services since 1972. Protect your home and property and call OPC Pest Services for a free estimate at 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com. Again, that's 969-9635 or visit opcpest.com.
With UPS, future you gets seriously pumped. As a package handler, you'll have a great job this season. Make up to $20 per hour after bonuses for a 25-hour work week. Future you goes further than you imagine. Find out what you'll become at upsjobs.com.